I'm Korva Coleman, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Quality childcare is always an expensive service to find, but the recession is making it a lot harder. Budget cuts at every level of government are reducing the number of affordable after-school childcare programs. More parents are scrambling to find less expensive alternatives, and now there are fewer alternatives. Joining us to talk more about this matter are Karen Dolan. She works for a nonprofit organization and is the mom of an 8-year-old son. I'd like to welcome Tell Me More regular parenting contributor Jolene Ivey, who's also a Maryland state lawmaker, and Jody Grant, the executive director of the After School Alliance, an advocacy group promoting aftercare program for children and youth. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming.
Hey,
thank
Korva.
Thank you for having us.
Karen Dolan, you've recently learned your after-school child care program is going to get more expensive. What has happened to you, and what are you going to do?
Well, it wasn't welcome news, that's for sure. But we have a terrific child care program in Mount Rainier in Prince George's County in Maryland, and it's a very diverse community. And the after-school program there at Joe's is really a critical part of the community. It's so important to low-income residents that use that facility. My son's school uses that facility. They teach dance and music and they're really terrific in terms of serving our kids, teaching our kids, keeping our kids safe, but they have been struggling themselves. It's hard for them to get the tuition that they need, and apparently they have been the victim of some budget cuts and have had to raise their tuition, and that has gone up by about $40 a month with little notice for a lot of us, and it's a hardship.
What will you do?
Well, I am hoping to find out about getting financial aid, and one never knows if that will happen or not. I'll find out this week when I bring my son to the after-school program, and I don't have a plan B.
Jolene Ivey is a state delegate for Maryland. Why are after-school programs across the country actually seeing so many cuts in services and budgets?
It's just a trickle-down effect. I mean, with the economy in the tank, we're hoping things are turning around. But for the time being, you know, if the federal government doesn't have money from taxpayers, then they don't have the money to give to the state. The states are in the same position as far as getting income taxes and property taxes. It's been a problem. And it really affects everything. It's not just the funding for the particular program. It's also the funding for the people that you have hired to process the application. So there's a particular program in Maryland, purchase of care vouchers. In Prince George's County, we don't have enough people. We're not able to hire more people to process the application. So even if there's money in the pot service them, it's not enough money to hire the people to process the applications. They're like 4 or 5 months behind, I understand, in processing them. And if you're a mom like Karen, who is really dependent on that service, you're kind of up the creek.
Jody, how can parents work to keep after-school care providers operating? What do providers do if they're facing this kind of a backup that Jolene is talking about?
Yeah, I think it really is staggering. And when we look at all the funding sources for after-school programs, you know, number one source is parents who are struggling. But all the foundation money is down, the corporate dollars are down, state local dollars are down. I would encourage parents to call their federal legislators. There's a chance we can get an increase in federal funding for after-school this year through 21st Century Community Learning Centers. So the House of Representatives has actually passed a $50 million increase. That could help. I also, I think parents need to pull together. I think these are tough times, and the more we can save the infrastructure and try and leverage volunteer services and other things, the better. I should say we're about to release a study that was funded by the JCPenney After School Fund, and one of the things we're seeing is, and it's a shame, is more and more sibling care. And, you know, more kids, unfortunately, being left alone because, you know, there's no other choice.
There is something I was going to touch on, and it's something that Karen mentioned, safety issues. And we're all concerned about the issue of latchkey children. Some of us were latchkey children. We know latchkey children. We may need to have our children home alone without supervision. Is that a dangerous thing to do?
It's a huge danger. I mean, the reality is that kids that are not supervised after school are 3 times more likely to join gangs, more likely to use drugs and alcohol. They're 37% more likely to become a teen parent. But the flip of that is, you know, I like to think that our after-school programs are so much more than safety. So I think our kids are losing a wealth of experiences that are going to really help them be more successful as adults. So when they're losing that music, drama, art, mentors, role models, social and behavioral instruction, all of that is really hurting us in the long run.
You know, one problem that we also have is activities buses have been cut in a lot of areas. Those are the buses that take kids home after they've participated in sports or clubs or whatever. And if those buses are cut, the only kids who can participate are the ones who have parents or some other way, people who can come pick them up. So that's also been a huge problem.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm talking with Jolene Ivey, Karen Dolan, and Jody Grant about after-school program funding cuts. Karen, can you tell us a little bit more about not just the safety features, but what really appealed to you about after-school programs for your son?
Well, first of all, necessity. I work full-time. I'm a single mom, and there isn't any alternative for my child's school. Ends at 3, and my job ends at 5:30. So he must have care, and I don't want him also just in a place where he's either parked in front of a TV or handed a crayon or something like that, although if that were available, it would be something I'd have to take advantage of if I'm not able to afford this after-school program. But this is the kind of program that Jody was talking about. It's in a very, you know, diverse community. It's committed to the community. The children clean up the community. They have a sweeping the avenue. They put on performances for the community. They hold fairs. They educate the community about sustainable living, about the green economy. They teach kids drama and dance. They employ local artists. They're just so involved in the community, and they do everything that they can. But at the same time, my fear is that some of these after-school programs are thought of kind of as an afterthought without attention really being realized to how critical they are to the child's well-being, to the child's safety, when as is the case in our area, but I think it's also nationwide. There are a lot of single parents. Single parents are not a small segment of the community. And even when there are two parents in a household, they both have to work, sometimes more than a job apiece. And there aren't alternatives for their children. And to have children trying to find their way home without public transportation, being latchkey kids, you know, my son is 8. There are other kids in this after-school program as young as 5. These kinds of programs have to be sustained. This is something that's important to our society as a whole. It's not just a sort of an individual plight of people who may be experiencing economic problems. This really is a social problem.
Jody Grant, you were talking a little bit earlier about parents need to pull together, and we need to contact our lawmakers, perhaps at the federal level.
Right.
But there are parents who are sending their kids back to school this week.
I guess I'm one of them.
I think
we have to raise our voices. I think we have to let, and obviously state lawmakers are critical too, but we have to let our principals know. We have to let everyone know that's in a position to make a decision that these after-school programs are absolutely critical to us. And it's critical in so many ways. I wanted to flag one more thing. We're really concerned about hunger right now. And I did want to flag that our after-school programs, they're before-school programs, they're after-school programs, they're summer programs. So for a lot of these kids, it also means access to breakfast and access to snack or supper. And in a time when more and more kids are going hungry, you know, it's a basic necessity.
Is there any money available anywhere to pay for hunger, socialization, buses? Is there any money anywhere?
The only money I know about is the money that's still in rich people's pockets.
Jolene Ivey. Yes.
And I, as much as people hate to pay taxes, and I'm not trying to say that people who are poor, who are struggling, should be paying more. Obviously, they have no more to pay. And I hear about it all the time because I live in and represent an area that's very low income. But there are areas where the people aren't struggling quite as much. and they are reluctant, some of them, to pay a little more into the system to help out the people who really, really need it. And that's who I appeal to right now, because when we say we have to contact our lawmakers can only dole out the money that we have in our hands. We can't get it in our hands if people won't give it to us. And the people scream the loudest who don't want their taxes increased, who can afford to pay more, then where's the money going to come from? I mean, you can't balance a budget out of thin air.
We've been talking about after-school care programs. They're under threat financially, and what parents can do about it. We've had help to talk about this from Tell Me More parenting contributor Jolene Ivey. She was here in our Washington studios, along with parent Karen Dolan and Jody Grant, the executive director of the After School Alliance. Ladies and moms, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.